This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Resurrection. And this is narrated by Abu Dawood in the section of Knowledge and Ibn Majah in the section of the introduction of his Sunan and Ahmed in his Musnad. What's interesting is that Ibn Majah mentions this. Ibn Majah is one of these scholars that we know as the Kutub al-Sitta, the six books of Hadith, although there are many more books of Hadith, but these are one of the famous six books of Hadith. And he mentions this in his introduction of his Sunan. Now, when you hear the word Sunan, you'll find the scholars of Hadith, they had many different, there were generic titles that they would have. So when you hear Sunan, it is basically they categorize the chapters of their books based on Islamic law. So it's not going to be of virtuous actions or of, you know, raqa'iq al-qulub, that which melts the heart, but it's going to be, okay, this chapter is chapter of Salah, this is a chapter of Tahara, this is a chapter like the chapters of books of Islamic law. So Ibn Majah, when you hear the word Sunan, that's what usually what is insinuated by it. You have Abu Dawood as well. He has it in his Sunan. He has a Sunan as well. So here Ibn Majah mentions this. I wanted to capitalize on Ibn Majah using this in his introduction, because when you're opening any book of Islamic knowledge, this is what should be kept in mind. That when the one that looks into a book of Islamic knowledge, it should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do we mean by the sake of Allah? Who can tell me? When we say, the Prophet ﷺ says here, مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْعِلْمَ مِمَّا يُبْتَغَى بِهِ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ لَا يَتَعَلْمُهُ إِلَّا لِيُصِيبَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. He who does not acquire the knowledge with the sole intention of seeking the pleasure of Allah, but for worldly gain. So when we seek knowledge for the pleasure of Allah, what does that mean? How do we explain that? So to get benefit for himself?
I mean, yeah, implementation, yes. To learn it, implement it, and then teaching another one.
So to learn it, implement it, and teach it?
Yes.
Okay. So that's what we mean by for the sake of Allah.
Yeah, I mean, whatever the knowledge they get in, and you implement it, like, for instance, Quran, you know. Mm-hmm. If you read it and we're not implementing it,
Well, reading the Quran, inshallah, can, even if you, see, this is, he said this, if you read the Quran and you don't implement it, how is it going to help you? Ishrayukum, what do y'all think?
Yeah. Well,
I need fatawa and Ahlul Qabal.
Reading can still help you, like, by just reading it.
Reading can still help you, yes. Uh-huh. Remember we talked about the hadith yesterday about the salah and the fractions, remember? Even a half of it, a fourth of it, a third of it. So one may read it, but then they do not do that action. Right? Now, the real question is, what's the reason behind the negligence of the action? Right? So if we, يَتَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. We read this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ. Their sides come off of their mattresses, of their place of laying. يَدْعُونَ, they call their Lord. خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. Right? This is a symbol of tahajjud. So now y'all know the verse. What's upon you at 3 in the morning? You understand? Because we're human. But if you read the verses, inshallah, that was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, you were getting there when you mentioned it. But to explain for the sake of Allah, how would we explain it? The last part? Yes. Uh-huh. Okay, so you get that knowledge and you apply it according to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to, and your goal is not anything else except to follow the directions that Allah has told you to. Because that will what? That's it. What do we say after we say a companion's name? What does that mean? May Allah be pleased with them. Right? We do it very simple, how you would tell your three-year-old, because Allah loves it. You realize when your children are young, and it's so much wisdom, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigning responsibility at the age of puberty. Because before they reach puberty, there's something called temyiz. They're able to distinguish. Scholars, they say temyiz. So when they talk about commerce, they say that the young boy or girl can buy and purchase a product when they reach the age of temyiz, distinguishing 5 cents from 10 cents, $1. But they haven't reached the age of puberty yet, so 7, 8, 9, 10. But that's so amazing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in them a certain time in their life where they will not only change physically, they will change psychologically as well. That's the bulugh, that's the puberty. Before that, do we realize that our children look at us as their Rabb? Think about it. Because when you explain the concept of Allah to them, they don't fully grasp it. They're just doing what they're told. But they know mama and baba do not like it, right? So in actuality, from an aspect of aqeed and belief, it is like you are their God. I hate to say it like that, but that's the reality. They haven't grasped the whole concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being khaliq al kulli shay. You tell them in the beginning, but with the repetition. That's why when they reach a certain age, it's expected of them to know Allah. Because the fitrah has matured and Allah has put something in them. That's why ultimately, it is not, we as parents do not have the capability and the ability to put iman in our children's hearts. It's not up to us. And that's what is so beautiful, because it is your individual responsibility to do your best. Although you, even with that, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's choice. What's one of the strongest proofs for that? What's one of the strongest proofs that we cannot control the iman in our children's hearts? That it is not totally within our independent agency to place iman in our children's hearts. What's one of the strongest proofs of that? No. No. Your own relatives. Yani, subhanAllah. When I first read that, I said, this is a child of a prophet. And we see certain scholars of the Ibn Jawzi, one of his children, subhanAllah, there was this one sheikh right now, subhanAllah, he walked out of the mat, you know, his son was at his dars, but his son was outside, yudakhin, smoking. And he was saying in the masjid, he's like, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yahdi man yasha, Allah guides whom he wills. And he said, my son is even outside. He said, Allah, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So it is important that we do what we do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, simply, very simply, because Allah loves it. That's it. That's it. I do it because Allah loves it. That's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not do it as though Allah needs it. Because when in English, especially when explaining to our children, do this for me, I have a need for you to do it. So for expresses a need. When we say for Allah, it means for our own selves in reality. We do it because Allah loves it, and that will help us, inshallah, receiving reward to hopefully go where? Jannah. No? So when teaching for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you initially do it for the sake of Allah. Question. How many of you are working now? MashaAllah, we have jobs. Are you going to work for the sake of Allah? Don't answer the question. Someone could say, khalas, you're getting money. Have the iwad. It's for the deen. What do we say? Oh, we say deen. Hopefully we say deen. Say it again. But what's the caveat? That it has to have what? Oh, not heard from Nia, yes. So wallahi, brothers, sometimes on our way to work, we have to do what? Huh? Make Nia. Give an example. What's something you can say to yourself on your way to? Because work, salah, is redundant. We get in the car, we know the routine, we don't need the GPS, right? We already get in the car, we have our shay, or I'm sorry, we have our chai, right? Depending on what it is. On our way to work, it's redundant. We go and we know where to punch in, we know what to do. It's just go to work. Get off at Salatul Asr, come home, redundant. You have to do what sometimes? You have to do what? You have to stop. What is one of the strongest ways to remind you? During the action, before the action, what? Bismillah, the du'as. Be conscious, be present. Subhanallah, sakhar lana, sakhar. What does sakhar lana hadha mean, brothers? Because we say it every day, inshallah, when we get in our cars. What does sakhar lana hadha mean? Yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the chapter of Hujurat, oh, you believe, do not debase or put or scold yaskhar one group of people to another group of people. So the connection between that is Allah has subjugated it and made it low for you as a risk. وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ دَائِبَيْنِ He is the one that has subjugated the sun and the moon in orbit. For who? For you. Because later he says, وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا And he's giving you everything that you ask for. So when you get in your car, Subhanallah, glory to Allah, the one that has subjugated this for me. It's under my control, under my authority, because I have bought it with the intellect that Allah has given me to earn the money. The money is the risk. How are you going to go to work after you just think of this little dua? وَمَا كُنَّ لَهُمْ وَإِنَّا إِلَى رَبِّ Then you think of, and verily we are to our Lord, مُنْقَلِبُونَ All of this is going to end. You have no ultimate control over it anyway. Right? You're doing your best as a father to go and provide for your family. That is why the dhikr of Allah is so important in everything you do. Because the dhikr is there for a reason. Dhikr means what? And what's so beautiful about the word dhikr is when you remember, إِنَّمَا تَتَذَكَّرْ تَذْكُرْ When you remember, you mention. And that's the meaning of dhikr, to mention Allah's name and to remember. So when we do something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, receiving the money is also a risk from Allah. But what connects the two is that you have the intention to do it because Allah loves it. And when Allah loves it, He'll reward you in immense ways. And I'll end here, subhanAllah, when we look at it from the in the grand scheme of things, one of the names of Allah is Al-Hadi, right? I always think about this and I say, subhanAllah. Allah guides you, right? He shows you the way to do things. And then He gives you the tawfiq to be consistent in it. Your only responsibility ultimately is to do what in the beginning? To have the niyyah and make the choice. Allah shows you, you make the choice to do the right thing, and when you make the choice with the correct intention, يُوَفِّقُكَ He makes you, He gives you, He assists you in doing the action. Hey, that's tawfiq. Nafsu. No. For that's the beautiful thing, is that when you, the small window of you just making the choice is your responsibility. You have that intention, you make the choice, and then you act. And during the action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist you. And that's why we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ So here, this beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning the one that studies for the sake, or teaches for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he wants Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's face, meaning he wants his pleasure, and not the dunya. That person will not smell the fragrance of Jannah. And it's not smelling the fragrance of Jannah, Allahu A'lam, where if that person, does, if it means that they will not enter Jannah abadan, doesn't necessitate that, but it could possibly be where the person may do it for numerous reasons, from them of being riya, which is the lesser form of shirk, which is showing off in an action of ibadah. That is what riya is. It's not just showing off with anything. It's if it's an action of ibadah, you're showing off with that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. Yes, you had a question?
Yeah, so it can be an anything, you know, intention. It can be anything like proper intention or, you know, show off. You know, it can be anything, you do any, charity or something like that, like just to see, like, okay, so people can see me and something like that. That can also be the same goal. Your intention was not pure, just to see it,
No. Actually, the Prophet has said exactly that. Yani, the person that wants to give charity to be seen. وَقَدْ قِيلْ فَأُخِذَ بِهِ وَصُحِبَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ فِي النَّارِ The Prophet mentioned a portion of a hadith that the person gives charity so he can say who a charitable person, good charitable person. And said, then he will be taken and his face will be drugged in the fire. May Allah protect us from that. So, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِنِيَّاتِ This is why this is a very important hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that have pure intentions and keep us of those that fight ourselves against the shayateen and fight ourselves against the nafs that calls us a nafs ammaratun bisu, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our sins and make us of those that are continuously reading his beautiful book, Ya Rabbil Alameen. اللهم اغفر لنا من ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار يا رب العالمين اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان وزمان يا رب العالمين وثبت أقدامهم وزدهم علما وإيمانا يا رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.